It's Kiva. It's 8 o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva, artist interview.
Right now.
On Butterflies
Radio.
Where it's all indie, all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight with Katie Cole. Katie was named Best Country Artist and Artist of the Year at the 2013 Artist of Music Awards, held on February 7th at the Key Club in Hollywood, California. That's where I caught up with Katie, and she had just gotten back from doing some work at the Sundance Film Festival. And when we did this interview, she was at South by Southwest, or on her way there, and when the show airs, Katie will be in Nashville, so she's kind of all over the place, although the Aussie native now calls L.A. home. I want to start the show off with Katie Cole singing Sunrise 2011. How excited are you for South by Southwest?
Oh, really? I mean, it's my first time going there, and I'm going there for, I think, 3 different reasons. So I guess that's good. I'm playing in one band called Instant People. I'm playing keys guitar, I think bass in a song and singing in that band, and also doing some background vocals for another artist called Tara Priya, who's kind of like a, she's like an Amy Winehouse type character. And it looks like I've got a show for myself as well, but I'm only really there for a couple of days before I head onto Nashville, but I'm looking forward just to seeing what Southfly's about.
Is it hard to change hats like that, to perform like three different things?
Yeah, to be honest, it is, but I think as long as you're prepared for what it is that you're doing, some people ask if you get, you know, do you ever get nervous before shows or whatever, but I think the same thing applies. Like if you're prepared for what you're doing or at least confident in what your abilities are at, you know, X, Y, and Z, then it's fine. If I've had enough sleep and some coffee, I think I'm good to go for about anything.
Yeah, I think coffee can, yeah, as long as there's a Starbucks around the corner, I think that helps a lot of people.
Oh, you better believe it.
Accomplish what they need to accomplish. Yeah, yep. That'll get them there.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm super excited. I mean, I've been doing a lot of stuff the last, I guess really the last 6 months have been really, really busy for me. Sometimes it's just a lot of work to have the, you know, some level of fruition come to play for the work that you've done. And, you know, I mean, South By is one of those things where you get to showcase and it's being able to say I was there. And I think that plays a big role. Like I briefly started talking to you at the Artist in Music Awards about playing at Sundance this year as well. And it is one of those things that being able to say I was there and I did that, it's really big as an artist to be able to do a lot of different things. But, you know, sometimes you just never know what's going to come out of what you do when you're actually, like, in the thick of things during those types of festivals.
Now, you know, we didn't get to talk a lot on the red carpet because you were
getting shoved along.
I know that you were at the very end of... my interview. I know you were waiting forever. I was waiting. I was like, oh, great, I get Katie. And then it's like, oh, pictures only. So I really did want to know how Sundance was and how that went and what you did.
It was so fun. I mean, it was such a long drive. It was actually, I drove over to Colorado. I actually did a couple of shows in Denver and then Colorado Springs before going to... Not that it's even really in the same vicinity as Utah and as, you know, Park City, but we did a couple of shows in Denver, in Colorado first, and then drove up to Sundance. And we were there for a good, I think it was a good 5 days. So we were playing, I think we played, I came up with one of my guitarists and my bass player. And we played, I think, a good four shows, and I did a TV show as well. I ended up playing at a preschool as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was super fun. We played, Park City TV. It was a place called the Pig Pen Saloon. We played Cicero's, was a really big showcase. It was headlined by an Atlantic Records artist called Fictionist. Fictionist were... awesome, and their headlining show was at, like, I think it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I remember looking
at
going, wow. And it was packed, like, just totally packed. We just did a bunch of other shows as well, like Flanagan's for a coffee house that are based in LA as well, which are a good little company that put together showcases for different artists around Los Angeles. It was just super fun. I didn't get to see any movies, though. I was devastated.
Oh, yeah, that would be awful, being there and not getting to see any movies.
Everything sold out pretty much, and I think the couple of windows that we had free, I think there was a couple of documentaries. Like, I would have been happy to see anything at that point, but the problem was partially that the trip was planned a little bit last minute, but we just didn't really allow very much time for anything.
Yeah.
Was kind of hopping from one event to another. Like one of the nights out of the 4 or 5 nights we were there, I ended up doing 2 gigs, and it was just hopping, like literally hopping from venue to venue, because there was, you know, like any festival, there's music at this venue, and it's so freezing cold outside that you don't really want to be outside for a very long time.
Next up is Breakout by Katie Cole.
live in the U.S. now, and how long have you lived here?
I guess about 2.5 years. A little bit longer.
When I was in L.A., I was there with, you know, Mark and Carol from Butterflies, and Carol and her husband Mark from Australia. They were talking about how cold it was here, just the whole time, how cold, you know, L.A. was, Las Vegas was. Are you from a part of Australia where adapting to how cold it is here, sometimes it has been really hard?
I don't think it's cold in Los Angeles. I mean, it's warm. I'm from Melbourne originally, which is, it's a pretty warm climate in general. Like the winters get a little cold, but it's not snow cold or anything like that. It's just like a lot of rain. I actually miss the rain personally.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, anytime it does something slightly different here, I'm like, hey. Like it actually hailed here. I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I was like, yes.
I know when I was there, yeah, it hailed in San Diego, and I was like, oh my God, it hails in San Diego. You know, that's crazy. I was like, I just brought the crazy weather there with me, because that's something that happens here, not there.
Well, I just like it. I'm not very good at being in one place that does the same thing, whether it's the environment or whether it's the city that I'm in. I like things that constantly shift. I mean, not randomly and erratically, but I do like change. I think it inspires your mood and it inspires what you're doing, and it gives you different ideas, and you see things differently when it's a hot day, or you see things differently when it's a cold day. I think it just shifts it, whether you like it or not. It shifts what you are and the way that you perceive things. So I actually miss the rain a little bit, but I actually think it's warm here. It's definitely warmer in general in Los Angeles than what it is in Melbourne.
Now, Carol lives in Townsville, in Queensland.
It's a lot warmer. I actually used to live in Brisbane for a few months, which is just a couple of hours south of Townsville. That is definitely a much warmer region.
Yeah.
So I totally understand that now.
Bless her heart. She said there's two seasons there. You know, there's wet and there's dry, but it's always hot.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I was only living in that area for a few months, because I couldn't take it.
I don't think I could take hot all the time, because I might have mentioned this to you when I did my print interview with you for Indie Music Bus, but I'm from Colorado Springs originally, so...
Oh, well, that's in your neck of the woods.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so jealous that you were there, because I wish it was close enough that I could just drive there now, you know, just get that... I love the mountains, and I wish that I could just be close enough to just drive to the mountains and get my fix and, you know, drive back, but it's just not that close, so it makes it special when I do get to go and, you know, be in the mountains.
Yeah.
How did you like Colorado?
Oh, I love it.
I always love to ask people that.
I absolutely loved it. I was, first of all, absolutely blown away by the embracing musical community that is there.
Yes.
I didn't expect it at all. Like, I was going out there, and I was actually opening up a couple of shows for an artist friend of mine called Nina Story, and she was co-headlining with Wendy Wu. You may be aware of who those girls are, or you may not, but they have a good sort of local fan base out there, and we played at a couple of venues out there. We played at the Swallow Hill Cafe in Denver, and in Colorado Springs we played at Stargate. The little theater out there. It kind of looks like a planetarium when you're inside it. It was kind of beautiful and inspiring to look at. It kind of like had this museum type dome when you're looking up at the ceiling. It was great. But I loved it. I wish I had more time to spend. Really only spent the 2 days that I was there, like one day in Denver, one day in Colorado Springs, but I got out to see the Garden of the Gods, like had a bit of background and a walk around that, because it was just so beautiful. I just wish I had more time to spend there, to really like spend the entire day and walk it, but I really only had a couple of hours. So beautiful though, and I saw a lot of
next people. Time you have to go back and do Pikes Peak and then go to Canyon City and Whitewater Raft.
Man,
you have to
do
that.
all the brochures for everything. You don't have to tell me. This looks like there's so much to do out there, and I wish I just had more time to go do it. But I really am looking forward to being back there. I was just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I just, the audiences were so into the music. I don't know how else to put it. It's about so respectful and so, like, that was their, that was really their evening. It wasn't just like going to see some music. It was like, there was a real focus on the music, which is, I don't know, it's strange to say that that's a rarity, but it just, it's a rarity for us to really have an audience that really just love music. I was just blown away.
I think they really support the art community as a whole in Colorado. And
I saw a lot of galleries when I was walking around the streets, so
Yes. And I have a friend who lives in Denver, and I know that, you know, I'll talk about shows that I get to go to here, and not necessarily here in Kentucky, but, you know, within 4 or 5 hours driving distance, I can go to shows. And, you know, the same things don't come there. I don't think as many musicians go to Colorado as will go, you know, West Coast tour or, you know, the East Coast like here. And I think that Colorado misses out on a lot of touring things, so they probably really appreciate it when they get somebody there and, you know, take the time and enjoy them.
I agree with you. Because, I mean, it really is drivable and achievable to be, if you're in the West Coast, to be either travel out to Arizona or to travel a little sort of, you know, north, mid to head to somewhere in, like, Utah. Or, I mean, I kind of get that, but you're, it is like it's a hike to get anywhere sort of to the middle of America. It's a real
commitment. It is.
But I,
you know, because then you're surrounded by, you know, you've got Nebraska and Kansas, and you've got some places that don't have big populations, you know, and you kind of want to go to as many big population areas as you can when you're touring. So, you know, it's a long drive. I know from here to go back to Colorado for me is like 25 hours. So it's not, you know, it's not just a quick jaunt over there.
No, not at all.
But it's worth it. You'll have to go back.
No, I absolutely want to. I mean, I've got everyone's contact information, and I just, I sold a lot of CDs at both of those shows in Colorado, and I had a lot of people take the time to sign up on my mailing list and things like that. And I mean, not that buying a CD means anything. I actually more appreciate it when people will sign up on a mailing list. Like, that's just actually the valuable thing for somebody to actually deliberately want to receive information about me and whatever it is that I'm doing.
Next up is Katie singing "Get Me Out of Here."
Bye.
Now, how is the music scene different from Melbourne to LA, you know, to the US?
Well, it's different from city to city in Los Angeles. I mean, in America as a general statement. Obviously, there is a huge culture difference from city to city to state to state. Like each major city is kind of its own little epicenter of culture. Australia is a giant country with not that many people in it. Taking that into consideration, you've got your major capital cities of all the states. Melbourne is very sort of arty, and there's a focus on art and I guess technology and food, and it's very European in its sensibility. Not just with the diverse cultures that are there, but just in general the way that the city is set out. For shows, I always had a challenge of trying to find, venues and groups that are that just really embrace really my style of music. Like I'd always sort of ask hypothetical questions to the universe. if this artist or this artist toured Australia, like which venues would they play in, and what would the local opening act be, and when? I would kind of draw blanks with some of those hypothetical useless questions. I started to really consider whether the country was suited to my style of music, and whether I should be trying to develop it there or I should be looking abroad to my musical idols are really from. Because it's an investment of time and money being in this industry. It's this long 5 or 10 year overnight success that no one ever sees.
Exactly.
I put out an EP locally in Australia and did I did some of the work. I think that that country is really, really good, and it has a great focus on, indie alternative artists, and it has a great culture for especially things like blues and roots festivals and alternative music festivals. So if that's what you do, that's a great country to be in. But for me, I sort of swing a little bit more, Americana, a little country, but I guess more Americana, and it's a bit more organic, and a little bit more commercial. There just wasn't really a home for me.
Yeah.
That's really tough to say and to admit as an artist. There's only so much you can do to change an industry. Like, you can be great if you've got no avenue to have your music played or venues to play in. There's only so much you can really do. It's not a vanity project. When I personally choose to do music, I'd like it to get out there, and I'd like it to be heard. And I don't know, I'd like to share stories with people because I'm a storyteller. I haven't really lived a lot of the experiences that I write about, but they make me laugh and smile and get crazy and whatever. So I figure if they make me feel that way, then, I'd like other people to listen and potentially go on that ride too. So for me, it's like I wanted to give the music and the songs the best platform humanly possible, and had a couple of opportunities to travel out to Los Angeles and record. So I took those opportunities and took the risk and I guess the risk that I've invested and the focus I've invested and the time I've spent here is, the outcome, the results has been tenfold to what I did in Australia. So, I continued and thought, I obviously need to be out here.
Well, speaking of the rewards, you got, am I right, you got Artist of the Year for the Artist and Music Awards?
I got Artist of the Year, and I got Best Country Artist, and I got one from last year as well, which is Best Rock Artist. So I'm just collecting all of the genres here.
you'll keep going around. That's awesome.
Super fun. Like Mikey J and Nick Kresnick, and just the whole crew that run the Artist and Music Awards, I think they just run such a great... It's not just a great show, but they really spend the time, as far as I can see, to really dig and find artists that do the work and that have some great music. Like, I mean, just taking like one of the categories I was in that I ended up winning the best country category. It was like everyone that was in that category, there was like six or seven girls, it was like, or artists, and it was like, wow. And, you know, the little piece of music plays, and obviously prior to the actual event, you know, whenever it was a few weeks ago, you know, I did my homework and, you know, listened to a bunch of these artists, but there was some real talent in that room.
There was a lot of talent that night, and what I was telling Jamie Olmerhead too is everybody's so supportive of each other. Nobody is like, oh, I didn't win and I hate that person because they won.
Yeah.
Everybody is very much, you know, I'm so happy for that person for winning.
Yeah. I think it's because being an independent artist, you kind of, I mean, you're the one that's creating all of the you put in and do the hard work, but you're the one that's creating these opportunities and creating this little world. So I think we all know how hard it is to, you know, stay on top of our game and to do all the marketing and just to all the people that we have to be in contact with, because when you don't have like that giant team of people around you that are, you know, taking the calls, doing the emails, booking the shows, doing all that stuff, I mean, most of us, you know, smaller artists are doing it ourselves, so it's just a lot of work, and there's just, to me, there's no room for competition. It's like, if we're all competing, let's just all compete together. I think it's a lot more productive.
Yeah, and I think everybody can help each other that way.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And did you just get signed to a contract?
Well, I have a small label deal that it's something I'd been working on, for a couple months. We actually signed the contract at the end of last year. I think it was roughly October, with a company called Beverly Martell. And Beverly Martell, they handle a lot of really good licensing for a lot of different artists, and including like Mozella Mack. And Mozella is, I guess she's kind of like an Adele sort of character, but she's, I just saw how much success she had, and they really pushed her music onto a lot of commercials and, you know, TV shows and things like that. And they do a lot of great work in that side of things. So I'm happy to work with, I'm not in a hurry to sign with anybody for any particular reason, but when I see someone that's doing the work, like, you know, every one little thing where somebody works really, really hard can be that one thing that blows up and becomes something a lot bigger than anybody anticipates. So I'm now on the roster with their, I guess, current handful of artists. And we'll just see what happens.
Next up is Lucky One. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a great song, you know, for the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Can you tell me, will it always be like this? Can we freeze this moment in time? Life before you was a wheel, unpredictable. Know where it's spinning, but I'm chained to the wires.
yeah. What do you have, aside from South by Southwest coming up, what big things are you working on?
Well, there's a few things. Well, to start with, I've been doing a lot of live shows in Los Angeles. I don't play anywhere near as much as I'd like to. It's strange because I come from a background of playing almost every night of the week in Australia. Like, I was so used to doing my, you know, 5 gigs a week because that was my job. So I'm doing roughly, you know, one or two shows a week here now. Sometimes it sort of whittles down to one or two a month. Because it's very, very difficult to get people to come out to shows. And I also don't want to spread, you know, too little butter over too much bread and tell people to come to every show that I do ever. but I've been actually playing a lot at the Hard Rock Cafe in Los Angeles, well, in Hollywood. I have one of the bookers there has just really taken me under his wing and has given me a lot of shows there. I've been doing some acoustic afternoon shows there as well on Fridays. And I mean, I'm happy to play anywhere, but like that Hard Rock Cafe in Hollywood is huge and it's always full of people. So I feel at totally at home on that stage, but I'm definitely back there for as often as I can be there, I'll be there.
You can't get a more visible Hard Rock Cafe than the one in Hollywood.
The funny thing is that I don't know if I'd actually ever walked into the store beyond, like, the actual retail shop that's at the front until I was booked to play there and then walked down the steps that are there on Hollywood Boulevard and was like, this place is huge. Like, huge. That's a really, really big stage there. Yeah, but it's obviously right there and in the heart of Hollywood or Hollywood, however you want to say it. but I also I've taken a little bit of a, I know my fans probably hate me for it too, but I've taken a lot longer to get my marketing plan and whatnot together to release an album that I have finished. My debut full length album is going to be out this year. I did start posting to fans that the album would be out in February, but it's taking a little bit longer because I'm taking a little bit longer in general.
Well, you want to get it right, you want to get it perfect. And
I want to get it right, but I want to make sure that I've got, like, all the marketing stuff together and that it's the right video and that we have the right plan. And I just don't, my fear as an artist to spend, you know, a year and a half on this record, which I have. Oh, it takes so long. I know, it's a long time.
It takes a long time for a record. It does. I don't think people understand that either. It's not, you don't crank one out in a day, you know.
I could. The argument in my brain is that I could, but I want them to be songs that represent me as an artist, not just songs that I've written, because I consider myself to be a songwriter / singer, and right. I'll explain that to say that I'm an artist and I'm a songwriter, and not the other way around.
I like that you explain that and, you know, lay it out that way.
Well, I am a songwriter, and I write stories, and it's like every song that I write isn't necessarily going to be right for me as an artist. Some of them are just way too alternative, some of them are way too pop, and it's like, you know, you have to, I don't want to confuse people either, because I know that if I put too many different things in the same plate and say, this is Katie, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can really confuse people, like, with what you're doing creatively or what you're saying. You may have mixed messages with the person, you know, the artist personality that you're portraying. I like to be relatively clear, and I realized after I released my debut American EP called Lost Inside a Moment, I tried to keep that as a pretty, concise package of songs, but even then I may have been keeping the genre a little wide. Not that I want everything to be exactly the same, but I just thought I'd narrow that window just a hair, just so that I can say this is who I am, and all of this stuff, like, if everything could be in the same story or the same book or the same sentence,
right?
It's still a really colorful and long sentence with a lot of very bright and quirky adjectives in there, but I just want it to all make sense.
Next up is my choice of the week, Lost Inside a Moment by Katie Cole.
Lost Inside a Moment. told herself a million times before. He's got big dreams and no car, but one day he's gonna touch the stars, and neither one knows what's next in store. And his heart beats faster as he walks right past her door, but hope is fading.
Album that's going to come out is Lay It All Down, right?
That is correct, that is Mundo.
And you have a video that you've already recorded, right?
I have, yeah. I the have first single I released in October is called I Can't Wait. And I shot that with a director called Kurt Nishimura, who I'd just seen a bunch of videos that he'd done for, I guess, a lot of different artists. There was Windsor Drive, he'd done something for the Decemberists, and I just thought he was really creative with the way that he puts stuff together, and I kind of wanted to do just a showcase type video for this first single, treating it like no one had ever heard anything I'd ever done before, because people probably haven't. I'm not a giant star. Like, I don't have any illusions there. So if this is the first thing you get to see, it's getting to know my personality. It's an uplifting song. You get to see that I'm in a band, and, you know, had to make it kind of pretty.
I'm seeing such a, you know, I was talking to Jamie Allamorad about this same thing, about videos, how you've met me now, so you know, like I told him, I'm older, I come from a time when there was Friday night videos, and that moved into MTV, you know, and then MTV went away from the videos. I like seeing the resurgence of videos, and the indie artists using that, and I've seen so many of them doing it now, and just having the ability to do that. And you don't have to, you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of money to do it. You know, it's pretty accessible to do it, and it's a great way to reach your fans with YouTube. And, you know, with the social media that's out there now, it's so much easier.
Well, it's easier to reach people. It's harder to give people a focus. As I said, like, it's real easy to go, here's this song, this song, and this song, you know? And if there's no focus to what you're doing, it's actually difficult on people. Like if you're saying, like my Facebook page and listen to this song and go to this page and follow me on Twitter. And it's like you can't say too much to people too soon. You kind of have to spread it out. And like sometimes I'll post like, watch my video. And then on like all my other networks, I'll be like, watch my video. I know it becomes, you know, increasingly frustrating for people to get like the same message a few times, but I don't know about you, but like when I'm looking through like my Facebook feed or my Twitter feed of people that I'm following or people that I'm interested in, like I miss most of it.
Yeah, I'll miss a lot of stuff where I try to do one thing and then I lose something else because I've gone down a path of one thing and I get distracted and forget about something else I intended to go do.
Exactly. But that's exactly what I'm trying to get at. It's like sometimes you really have to post something a few times for it to get some views because things just get lost.
Yeah, it's always that you remind me, you know, I want to do it, I mean to do it, I just forget.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think a lot of people are like that. I think with the social media, that's the downside, is we get overstimulated with a lot of things.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I was saying that it's difficult when you're trying to have a creative outlet, when you're really just trying to focus, or you're trying to get people to focus on this one thing. Like if some weeks I'll be like, I need to get some YouTube subscribers because I don't have that many. So I'll do a bunch of videos and, you know. They might just be like my usual home style videos of like whether they're covers or originals or just pieces or interviews or some wacky thing I've decided to do because that's what's in my brain at that moment. And, you know, and sometimes that's, you don't remember, even though that's why you're doing it, to get some subscribers, and in order to get subscribers, you need to have content. So that's the reason why you do that content. And then you get comments about, you know, I wish you had some higher quality videos. And you're like, well, here's my video.
You know, right.
And I have to repost the I Can't Wait video because people haven't bothered to even click on the channel itself. They've just seen that one video, and that one video, in their eyes, is their first impression of you.
Yeah.
And they haven't bothered to click on the channel. And when you click on the channel, obviously, you know, I've got it very organized so that that's my video that plays, and you can see a bunch of lists of covers that I've done. Original interviews, travel, funny things, whatever. Like, I've got all these playlists put together for that reason. But sometimes people don't even click to see that, or they just be like, oh, I wish you played more originals than covers, and it's like, I do.
I do. You just don't know it, or you just don't see that, yeah.
And that's it.
Or you'll get lost down one.
To get people to click on anything is like this miracle. Like, when I'm trying to get some likes on Facebook, and you'll be like, okay, you know, if you've got a minute, you know, love it if you could like my page, I said, because this is where all my information comes through first, and then you just get a bunch of likes on that comment.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, come on, like the page, not just the comment.
I don't know, all that stuff is just, like, it's perception. Some of it equates to real fans, and some of it's just perception. Like, it's perceived that you have this many fans, and just because somebody's clicked their page does not make them a diehard fan. The diehard fan is somebody that really does follow what you're doing with your career, and that will show up to a concert when it's in their area. And I don't know, somebody that is positively inspired by your music. You don't really know who your true fans are, until you go out and tour.
Next up is Katie's choice of the week, I Can't Wait.
Breakthrough, I know.
Well, until you've built up enough of a reason for people to be at shows, and it's kind of a catch-22. You have to keep showing up to a city to build fans, but it costs money to be touring and to be out in that city to build up fans.
Exactly.
So I think I've kind of been, I've been working it so that I play a lot in Los Angeles, which is where I'm based, but I travel a lot to Nashville. I try and get out there every few months. So I'm because I'm playing at South by Southwest and I'm already halfway across the country. My next trip to Nashville is at the back end of that trip.
And what are you going to do when you're in Nashville? Are you going to play there? Are you going to record, do work?
I usually do a lot of, I do a lot of songwriting there. I do most of my songwriting in Nashville. I'll be doing a few shows out there. To be fair, I really didn't plan this particular trip that well. I've definitely failed in that, in that aspect. Because it was at the back end of a trip, and I thought I really should be trying to make that work. So yeah, I'll be doing some shows, some songwriting. I always take a lot of meetings, and I have a lot of friends out there. I just love being in that city. It's so inspiring to really be in the heart of where almost everyone is there to play music.
And I've heard that from so many people. You know, there are meccas. There's Los Angeles, there's New York, and there's Nashville. And each one of them is so different. And what I've heard about Nashville is people want to go there to work on their songwriting or to record. You know, that's, it's so important for them to go there. And that's different genres. It's not just country or, you know, it's so many different genres. And what I love about Nashville is that it isn't just country, and you can go down, you know, to where all the bars and the clubs are at, and you can walk in and out of them and hear different music and get to experience that, and it's so accessible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was kind of blown away. I mean, for the most part, that city is pretty, does dominate still with country music, but it is very inspiring to just be walking into a venue at, you know, midday, and for there to be music like that.
Oh yeah, there's kind of always great music there.
I don't know, and it's kind of, it's inspiring that people have somewhere to play, like the songs that they've written, and to trial them, you know, to trial them out and see what sort of sticks, to know which songs to really invest on, you know, paying to get demoed, to then pitch to this artist or this artist that are looking for songs. But it is really kind of a mecca for artists to travel to Nashville to write with, you know, some of the best songwriters in the world. I mean, it really is one of those places as a resource for songs and great songs. This, as I said, there's still a focus with country music, but, you know, I think it'd be difficult to find better lyricists outside of that city in general. There was such a focus on the way that they turn the phrase that it's just, they don't let anything slide.
No, I
really kind of respect that. Like, it's interesting when you find people that kind of write outside the box of whatever a standard Nashville co-writing session is, but I still go there and I'll write, but I still go there to learn.
You know? And I think that it's always a learning process. I don't care if you're 20 or you're 40 or you're 60. I think you can still learn, and you can learn from all the people there and around you. And it is such a sharing. It's very vibrant. It really is. Just, you really feel it. I think you feel the music. You feel the people.
Yeah.
You know, you just feel it all.
Yeah, there is definitely a sense of community there, knowing that everyone is there pretty much for the same sort of focus, or that they've all been drawn to that city for that particular reason. I think that's kind of something. That's a unique experience. And although there's competition, there is definitely that community is that overwhelms that sense of competition, for sure.
Now, when are you going to be in Nashville?
Well, I will be there probably as of the, I guess probably the 15th. It'll be the 15th or 16th. I love how I've managed to book my flight from Nashville back to Los Angeles and still haven't booked my flight from Austin to Nashville.
Just
a rock star at heart. I will note, there's no question I'll be doing a bunch of shows. I'll probably post them on my website. I don't know. I always end up doing a lot of those fun sort of songwriter rounds and things like that. And hopefully, like, hopefully I'll be playing some songs that I've, like, just written on the day that I'll totally get wrong.
But that's always fun. That makes the shows unique and, you know, and organic, yeah. Like you said. And I think that engages the audience then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's just super fun, like, to be in that sort of city, and even on nights that are meant to be, I don't know, you can't really say amateur nights, but just, like, you know, up-and-coming songwriters and whatnot, and just hear this amazing talent come, that, you know, a lot of these people you've never heard of, and then the next, you know, you travel back a few months later, and they've been on and already left shows like The Voice or American Idol, and
yeah,
and they'll be back at the same venue going, well, here I am.
Next up is Matter of Time by Katie Cole.
Do you have any good stories from the road?
I have a lot of stories. Let me think of something that I haven't said before. I'm trying to think of something that's like an exclusive for you. My story. I'll elaborate on, because I've told people before on the upcoming record. I have a song called Penelope that my producer managed to pull Chris Christopherson in to sing on this song. And I actually wrote this song with someone like him in mind. So for that to happen, that was obviously one of those, you know, oh my God experiences.
Yeah.
Like, wow experiences. But what I didn't actually get to be there during the session. So that was a little devastating. But I did find out much after the fact, and I've had it confirmed twice now, that Chris was, at the end of the session, was still, like, singing and humming the song as he was driving away. So I was...
Oh, that's awesome.
That's one of those little moments where you're like, no!
Now is the last song of the evening. It's Katie singing Found You.
Never before have I had more than I could take. Holding on to the edge, hoping it won't break. This world's so crazy, we'll always know what to do. Through all the commotion, I'll be there. Take a leap.
So my question is always, it's a foodie question, and it's what place have you toured, been to, lived, where, what's the place that everybody has to eat? You know, if they're coming to a certain town, what town is it, and what place do they just have to eat, and what do they have to eat? What do you recommend?
Well, I've been to a lot of cities, probably much like yourself. It's that's difficult to narrow it down because... As you've probably worked out, and I think most musicians, you pretty much measure wherever you're at with the food that you're eating. Like,
yes.
Whether you're into food or not, most tours end up revolving around whether it's the food or when there is good food. It's just so memorable. I don't know. I know off the top of my head when I was in London. I mean, I love Indian food. And I
have heard that from a lot of people in London, that you've got to have Indian food.
Well, in Australia, especially Melbourne, and I think Sydney's probably the same, but Melbourne is really, there's a lot of really, really good Indian food. And since I've been in Los Angeles, I just haven't been, blown away yet. I've just kind of been like, meh, it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
But when I was last in London, I was in, where was I at? Camden Town. Camden is sort of I don't know, it's a hipster sort of area, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But I was playing a show out in that area and had some Indian food at, I think it was Masala Zone, and was just like, I'll just have some Indian. I know I've got to do it. I'm in London. It's going to happen. I might as well just have it here. And was just, I was just like singing in my head. My taste buds were just going, yes. So, so good. I was so impressed with the place and with myself for walking in the door and just going, let's just do this. Because when you're touring on your own, it's not really that inviting to take yourself out for dinner.
No, it's not. It's easier to just get takeout and go back to your room.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like I'll still be doing like social media, and I don't want to look like I'm taking a meeting with myself while I'm taking myself out to dinner. I feel like I'm calling attention to myself. Or I'll be taking a photo of the food, because I pretty much have to do that wherever I'm at.
Oh, I do too. I take pictures of my food everywhere.
Yeah. But
my friends make so much fun of me for that.
That was so good. Masala Zone, I was very, very impressed with. I've had a lot of recommendations for when I'm in South by Southwest. So I'll give you a report after the fact.
There's
some pretty awesome barbecue out there.
Thank you, Katie, so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on IndieView's Artist Spotlight. I hope everybody enjoyed Katie's music. And Katie, if you're listening, and I'm pretty sure you will be, because I know how dedicated you are to your craft, your music, and getting out there, and you've been so supportive of Butterflies Radio, too. I want to know how good the food was at South by Southwest. You guys tune in again next Monday. My guest will be William Pilgrim and the All Grows Up. They're a lot of fun. Till then, have a good week.